From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network, Dr. Marion McFarlane from the University of Leicester in the United Kingdom is interviewed by Gen's editor-in-chief John Sterling about a crucial new study that significantly advances our understanding of the process of apoptosis.
Dr. Marion McFarlane is leader of the receptor-mediated signaling and cell death program at the University of Leicester in the UK. She works in the Medical Research Council's toxicology unit at the university. Dr. McFarlane, before we talk about your research paper in the August 14th issue of Molecular Cell, please review for us the process of apoptosis in a healthy body and what happens when normal apoptosis fails.
Apoptosis is essentially a form of cell death which occurs in a regulated way and is key for the normal development and control of cell populations, not only during development into the adult, but also in the normal healthy body. It's important for controlling cell populations such as the immune system and the size of tissues, where there's a balance between cell growth and cell death. So if something goes wrong, for example, with the normal apoptosis process, this would result in an expansion of cell populations, and this can be very dangerous, and it would result, in the case of excessive cell death, you would kill cells that normally should survive. So this would result in diseases such as some of the neurodegenerative diseases have been linked to defects in cell death. The opposing situation would be where you have too little cell death and there is a defect in the cell death process. And in that situation, you would have cell populations in the immune system, for example, growing out of control, and this can result in autoimmune diseases and also the other key disease that would be linked to a defect in apoptosis would be cancer.
What role does the CD95 receptor play in the death-inducing signaling complex, also called DISC? And what is paradoxical about this receptor?
So the CD95 receptor is essentially a receptor located on the cell surface, and it is classed as a death receptor, and it's one of a number of these death receptors, but it's one of the best studied. And in terms of the death-inducing signaling complex, or DISC as it's known, the receptor is the first key component that's triggered to form the DISC. The DISC is made up of three proteins, so the receptor is key, and then there is an adapter protein and what is called a caspase molecule. What's paradoxical about CD95 and other death receptors in this family, such as the TRAIL receptors, for example, is that they do not only signal for cell death, but paradoxically they also can signal under certain conditions for cell survival. So the open question is how can activation of this one receptor result in such opposing cellular outcomes?
What achievement did you report about in the Molecular Cell paper, and how does your work take us a step closer to understanding how the DISC triggers cells to die?
Essentially, the major achievement we made in the Molecular Cell paper was that for the very first time we were able to take what was predicted to be the three main components of the DISC. As I've already mentioned, these would be the receptor, and in the case of the DISC that we were looking at in this paper, it was CD95, an adapter protein called FAD, and an apical caspase, which is at the top of the caspase cascade in apoptosis, called caspase 8. And what we were able to do is generate these proteins and then combine them together and essentially recapitulate or reconstitute the DISC in vitro. This then allowed us to study in a lot of detail and mechanistically what key steps regulate the activation of the this complex and how it then triggers the downstream apoptosis event. So we were able to introduce mutations in the FAD molecule and in, more importantly, in caspase 8 that has allowed us to break down the disc activation into key steps. And this was only possible by approaching it from this reconstituted in vitro system.
How did your work shed any light on the paradoxical nature of the CD95 receptor?
As mentioned earlier, the CD95 receptor can signal for death, as is well documented, but in some contexts can signal for cell survival. So when we reconstituted the disc, we were able to make mutations in the caspase 8 molecule, and that this allowed us then to look at the key steps in the activation of the disc. And what we found was that for the disc to become fully activated, you had to form the disc composed of the receptor, FAD, and caspase 8. You had to initially activate caspase 8 by proximity-induced activation, but you also had to allow cleavage of the caspase 8 molecule within the complex. And if you allowed this cleavage event to take place, you are then able to trigger the downstream caspase cascade, and that is how the disc can efficiently trigger cell death. If you block that cleavage event of caspase 8 and only allow the caspase 8 molecule to dimerize within the disc, in other words, undergo proximity-induced activation only, which we see as the step one activation event, you will then result with a disc that's not capable of fully triggering cell death, and instead the activation of the receptor can signal to alternative survival pathways.
Would you describe some of the key details of how you actually carried out the experiment? In other words, what did your group do?
So what we did, I think I've already mentioned we've really advanced this area by reconstituting the disc in vitro for the very first time. So to do that and achieve this, we had to make the recombinant proteins, and this was a very difficult thing to achieve. We made the receptor, which had been done before by other groups, but we also made FAD and we made full-length caspase 8, which has not ever been really studied in the context of how it's activated in its native complex, the disc. So having made these three recombinant proteins, we then reconstituted the disc in vitro, performed the mechanistic studies that I mentioned earlier, and together with that, we then generated some stable cell lines where we expressed caspase 8 that was only able to dimerize, or alternatively wild-type caspase 8 that could go through both the dimerization and the cleavage events at the disc. And using both the stable cell lines together with the disc, we were able to show that the model that we were able to propose in vitro was actually validated in the whole cell. So we combined both an in vitro approach and cell-based approaches to provide evidence for the model that we've now proposed.
Now, you mentioned this currently accepted model of proximity-induced activation of caspases and the subsequent impact on apoptosis. Would you talk a little more about this model that's currently accepted more fully, and then a little more detail on how your model further extends this hypothesis?
As you've mentioned, the currently accepted model of activation of initiator caspases, such as caspase 8, which has activated the disc, was proximity-induced activation. So it was hypothesized that what was required to activate caspase 8 was for it to be dimerized within the disc complex, and that this alone was sufficient to then trigger cell death. And this model is fine, but it was generated based on using caspase 8, and that was activated and dimerized in solution, because no one up to this point was able to study the activation of caspase 8 in the disc complex, because they were unable to use full-length caspase 8 as we've done in our study. So the way that we've advanced the proximity-induced model is that using the reconstituted disc model that we've generated, we've been able to show that you do achieve proximity-induced activation of caspase 8 within the disc. However, this is the only the first event, and the second event that is required is the subsequent cleavage of caspase-8 to generate a cleaved form that can then trigger and activate downstream effector caspases. So what we've done is we've taken the proximity-induced activation model, shown that it does happen within the disc, but that that alone is not sufficient to trigger cell death. And if you do not have the caspase cleavage and you only have proximity-induced activation, the disc that you generate will actually trigger a more preferentially towards cell survival.
My final question, how might your findings, particularly your ability to reconstitute the disc complex in vitro, how is this going to help in the development of new therapies for diseases that occur when apoptosis goes wrong?
The findings that we've made, essentially in generating the reconstituted disc, we believe will help advance in the development of new therapies, and that's why the disc model has just been patented by our MRC technology department, which is a commercial arm of the Medical Research Council in the UK. And the aim of this is that we believe that using a reconstituted disc, we could take diseases where disc-triggered cell death has gone wrong, such as autoimmune diseases where it's been shown that caspase-8 is defective or is mutated, and that we could take the reconstituted disc model we've generated and start screening for small molecules that could in some way help facilitate disc activation with a view to potentially identifying molecules that would amplify the signal from the disc, where if we could have it so that it was only proximity-induced activation, which mimics the situation that happens in patients with ALPS, and we've shown that in our paper, what we'd be looking for is the potential identification of small molecules that could take that situation and progress the disc activation in the absence of caspase-8 cleavage, but that would induce a similar downstream caspase activation, perhaps driven by small molecules coming through from a screening approach. The other approach that we've thought of is in situations where you want to trigger disc-mediated cell death would be in the context of cancer therapy. And the death receptor that's most studied in this context would be the TRAIL receptor. So in certain cancer types that are actually resistant to TRAIL therapy alone or TRAIL agonistic antibodies, if we could identify small molecules that could be used in combination with TRAIL agonists that could trigger disc activation more efficiently, then we believe that this would be another way of utilising the reconstituted disc to screen for potential molecules that could modulate disc activation and that these could be applied in the disease setting.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. If you would like to comment on this week's podcast, please go to our podcast section at www.genengnews.com and give us your thoughts. We'd really like to hear from you. Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast, or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. New GenCasts are posted every week, Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghouse saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.